Is anybody ready for God to give you a season of peace? Let me see if I'm preaching to the right group tonight. Anybody ready for a season of peace? Anybody ready for a season of joy? Anybody ready for a season of blessing? Well, that's what God has in store for those who fight the battles and endure to the end. Joshua chapter 21, verse 43 from the New King James Version. It reads this way. So the Lord gave to Israel all of the land which he had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. Everybody say promised land. How many of you have been promised something by the Lord? God wants you not to just live, he doesn't want you to just claim it. He wants you to receive it and live in it. You know, how many people do you know, now don't speak out loud here. How many people do you know who's living a victorious life right now? How many people do you know that every time you see them, I said, man, God's on my side. I've got the devil on the run. God is so good. I mean, that's the way God's people should be living. Versus how many people do you know thinking, y'all need to pray. Y'all need to pray. And next week it's, I know, we need to pray. I mean, they don't even have to open their mouth. You see them coming, I get it. We need to pray. So you know, there's a difference in those who are claiming something and those who are living in something. There's difference in those who are saying, I believe it's going to happen. I want it to happen. But somebody has got to live in Canaan. Somebody has got to live. If the word of God is true, there's got to be victory on the other side of the battle. I don't believe that your whole life should be a war. I don't believe your whole life should be a battle. If you climb the mountain, build a castle there and enjoy the victory. You, my goodness, you don't have to live your whole life in a battle with an enemy on your back. I mean, there's something wrong with something we're doing if our whole life is nothing but one struggle after the next struggle after the next struggle. Now, let me tell you, I'm not saying that God's people won't get sick. I'm not saying that you're going to have tribulation. But if you know, you can still have joy in tribulation. You can still have peace in the prison. I mean, most of the New Testament from the Apostle Paul was written from a prison cell. You know what he said in the prison? I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. You know what else he said from a prison? He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I'm able to ask or think according to the power that works in us. So struggles of life do not have to define you. Even though they're there, you can still have a victorious mindset, a victorious living. So notice verse 44, and this is what I'm claiming for you tonight. The Lord gave them rest all around. Somebody say rest all around. Tell the Lord, God, I'm ready for my enemies to be quiet. I'm ready for rest all around. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all, oh, look at this. Anybody want this in your life? And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hands. Now that sounds like victory to me. That sounds like a hallelujah moment right there when the Lord says that I'm giving you your enemies and there's rest all around. And I love this next verse, man. If you underline anything in your Bible, you need to underline verse 45. Look at what it says in verse 45. Now I'm going to read it from the screen. Not a word failed. Woo. Boy, right there. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Wow. You know what? That verse is so important. I want us all to read it together. It's right there in front of us. Let's all read it together out loud. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Let's do it one more time. This is too good. Let's do it again. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. How many of you have already figured out God is a promise keeper? God is a promise keeper. If you're getting all these visions and you're getting all these dreams and you're writing down all these prophecies, at some point in time, you should be marking those things off as coming to pass. God's not giving you visions and dreams to confuse you. God's not giving you promises and prophecies to give you a false hope. This is real. If God is really saying it, you're really going to walk in it. You're really going to live in it. God is a promise keeper. And so we have to have that kind of promise-keeping faith that the Lord is going to do what he said he was going to do. So this is how the story ends. So how can we finish the story of Joshua without talking about this? God gave them rest all around, promise all around, peace all around, and not one word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken. Now here's what you have to understand about the seasons of life. Every season has a reason. There's a reason that you have to go through battle, but it does not mean that your whole life is a war. Don't get used to war because it can become a habit. Don't get used to fighting the devil because it'll wear you out. And he's just playing around teasing you all the time because he's trying to wear out the saints. You know, we empower the enemy by the things we expect, by the things we say. We empower the enemy. The devil's trying to find some people. He can't find them. He's going to the right address, but they're living in victory. He's going to the right place, but they're hanging out in glorious places. There's so many angels around. He's thinking, where you used to be? Where's that poor mouth girl? Where that used to just give me all these inroads to her life? Where is that boy that claimed all this negative stuff that opened up the door and let me in all the time? Where do they go? Because now they're quoting the Bible and they're living in victory. They got gospel music playing in their house. They're hanging around Christian friends. I don't have a way in anymore. So when we get in the habit of giving the devil credit all the time, we open the door and give him access into our life. So don't get used to that. Every season has a reason.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Now let's look at Ecclesiastes, and I want you to see the double demands of Scripture here. This is the double-edged sword of your life. Look at this. For everything there is a season, and I want the guys just follow me because I'm going to go through this a little fast. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Okay, look at this. A time to be born and a time to die, okay? A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. Somebody say opposite. That's what these are. But we have a balance of life. We can't have every day plucking, and that means reaping. Some days you got to work in the garden and you got to plant it and you got to weed it. So there are seasons to plant, but there are also seasons to reap. And if you're just planting and never reaping, something's wrong with your fertilizer. I mean, we got to figure that out because you're supposed to reap what you sow. You can't just keep sowing and sowing and sowing and never reaping. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. He's talking about war and then being healed from war. He's not talking about murder there. He said there are times that you're in battle and people are dying, and there's times that you got to get out of the battle and go rest. Anybody remember the story where God told Abraham, rest before you fight your next battle? you're not gonna fare it nearly as well. You are too tired to fight another battle. That's why David's men came to David and said, you are not cutting the head off of any more giants, or else the lamp of Israel might go out. We will go kill the giants. You stay here and be the king. Because you cannot get addicted to a fight. You cannot get addicted to a battle all the time. There's a time to weep. How many of you ever had one of those seasons? But look what follows that. And a time to laugh. At some point in time, you gotta quit crying and start laughing. They go together. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So you can't get stuck in one of these places. You can't get stuck in mourning, and you can't get stuck in woes, and you can't get stuck in planting. You can't get stuck in weeping. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose. Anybody gone through seasons of loss? Okay, hopefully those same hands have gone through seasons of gain. Anybody gone through seasons of gain? Has anybody ever opened your mouth and said, God has given me more than I ever deserved? Anybody have said that? I've said that. I said that recently. I just told the Lord as I walk around my house, said, God, you have been so good to me. Everywhere I look, I see the goodness of God all around me, the blessings of the Lord. You know how many other places I could be? You know, I could be in jail. I could be in the graveyard. I could be in the insane asylum. There's a lot of places I could have been. I could be on death row, or I could be on a deathbed. But here I am praising God with my hands lifted high. I am in the presence and the goodness of God. So there is a time to tear and a time to sow, verse 7. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. We might need to repeat that one too. A time to keep silent. Let's say that one more time. A time to keep silent. And a time to, some of you got ahead of me. I just want you to repeat that first part. A time to keep silent, except not during the sermon, and a time to what? Speak, yeah. Some of you know, sometimes the best answer is no answer at all. Yeah, another principle there. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. See, here is the challenge of transition. Can I get used to something different? Am I so used to a struggle? Have you ever met somebody that if they don't have a problem, they will create one? Because they know how to exist in drama, but they don't know how to exist in peace. Have you ever met a person like that? It's like if they don't know what peace looks like. Well, they don't know how to speak peace. They don't know how to talk peace. If they're not worried and buckled under the load and waiting on God and trying to kick the devil around, they don't even know what to do with their free time. It's like that's the only mode they have. God doesn't want you in battle mode all the time. Somebody's, if we're ever going to win this world for Jesus Christ, somebody's got to start laughing. Somebody's got to have joy. Somebody's got to have peace. Somebody's got to have blessing. How are we ever going to convince the world that this is the abundant life if we can't even get to Tuesday without collapsing? At some point in time, we've got to be overcomers by the words of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. We have got to learn how to live as overcomers and talk as overcomers and speak as overcomers and expect as overcomers. We can't just always live in the battle zone. So the transition to peace is tough for some people. Because I can hear it right now. I'm not going to say this, but I hear it right now. Well, I don't know how long this is going to last. But you know, I'll give them a few months. It's going to get messed up. It's because they don't know how to live in peace. Well, I'll give them 2 months. I'll see how it works. Listen, you confess it, you're going to get it every single time. If that's what you keep saying, that's what you will keep getting. At some point in time, you got to put some oil on the doorpost, command the devil to leave, say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to start a prayer meeting, and we're going to start glorifying God, and we're going to not stop until we get some victory in the house. You've got to have victory. You cannot live your life. So here's the thing. You can't miss your season of harvest because you're still fighting a defeated enemy. treat him like he's defeated. I think that should be on the screen. There we go. Look at this. You can't, somebody needs to take a picture of that because you need to be reminded of that tomorrow morning. You can't miss your season of harvest because you're still fighting a defeated enemy. At some point in time, you need to start treating the devil like he's under your feet. At some point in time, you got to start treating the devil like Jesus made a public spectacle of him openly. You got to treat the devil like the fiery furnace or the lake of fire is waiting on him. I love what Carmen used. Some of you have no idea who Carmen is, but those of you that know, he was one of the coolest guys on the planet. And Carmen used to have a phrase that he used to say that when the devil comes and reminds you of your future, just turn around and remind him of his, and he'll go away because he knows he is losing this battle. He already knows. I mean, as somebody, I don't know who coined this phrase, but I wish it had been me. I read the back of the book and I know who wins. And at some point in time, you got to quit giving the devil testimony. You got to quit testifying for him, and you got to start living victorious and treating him like a devil. Treat a dead enemy like it's dead. Treat a defeated enemy like it's defeated.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.